the Public News Service Daily Newscast for Friday, June the 1st, 2018. I'm Mike Clifford. Reports of infighting at the White House over Trump's steel and aluminum tariffs. Also on our Friday rundown, as hurricane season opens, pressure mounts to update national flood policy, and folks in hundreds of communities to wear orange this weekend to protest gun violence. Now, our top story, President Trump's abrupt decision Thursday to slap steel and aluminum tariffs on Canada, Mexico, and the European Union capped a whipsaw week that political reports reflected not just deep divisions among his top economic advisors, but the changeable attitudes of the president himself. According to Politico, senior administration officials profess privately to not know exactly what Trump will ultimately decide to do on trade at any given moment. They add that uncertainty has led to nasty behind-the-scenes fights that are increasingly bursting into public view. The National Flood Insurance Program is set to expire right in the middle of hurricane season, which starts today. Tramiel Gomes reports that emergency management experts are calling on the Congress to fix the 50-year-old program, which is billions of dollars in debt.
More than 1.7 million Floridians hold policies in the program, the most of any state in the country. And experts say they are at risk of not being able to rebuild from future storms because the flood program is unsustainable. Craig Fugate is a former FEMA administrator and Florida Division of Emergency Management director. He says Congress needs to look at ways to invest in the infrastructure of communities to minimize flooding.
Let's look at funding mitigation, not after disasters happen, but before it happens. And one of the things we're looking at is, what about creating a revolving loan fund that provides some seed money from Congress to states to provide funds in the form of loans?
The National Flood Insurance Program expired last fall but has been receiving temporary extensions by lawmakers. Fugate says the July 31st deadline should be met with the modern approach of elevating buildings and converting flood-prone areas into green spaces.
Tennessee kids continue to confront poverty, infant mortality, and decreased educational opportunities. That's particularly true in rural areas.
That's according to the End of Childhood report released this week by Save the Children, which ranks the state 40th for quality of childhood. Mark Shriver, with the advocacy group, says a big factor in Tennessee is its large number of rural communities.
Clearly, there's a lot more that needs to be done to get Tennessee at the top of the list, to make sure that the children in Tennessee are prepared not only to enter kindergarten ready, learn, but to succeed in life.
Internationally, the United States ranks 36th in the world, between Belarus and Russia on the list. The report recommends increased access to early childhood education and improved access to health care. The five states in the top five when it comes to quality of childhood are in the Northeast. This is Stephanie Carson reporting.
Tennessee did do well when it comes to high school graduation rates, with 88% of students graduating on time, making the state eighth best in the nation in that category. 1 year ago this Sunday, Rosa Sabido, a Colorado resident for more than 30 years, sought sanctuary protection from deportation in a Manicos church. Eric Galatis has more.
The move came after ICE declined Sabido's request for a stay of removal. After watching a series of failed attempts by politicians, Sabido, along with three other Colorado women living in sanctuary, drafted a statewide people's resolution to address what they see as critical gaps in immigration policies. Sabido says apart from fixing her situation, she hopes the measure will spark similar efforts in other states.
But for the benefit of many, I am the voice of all the people who are still in the shadows and they're afraid to talk and to fight.
Sabido says the initial goal is to collect endorsements from at least 10,000 Coloradans, including local and state elected officials, the governor, and faith and business leaders. After that, signatures will be delivered to Colorado's congressional delegation. A coalition of sanctuary supporters hopes the resolution will move officials to take a leadership role in immigration reform. This story was produced with original reporting from Lornette Turnbull for Yes Media.
Only Coloradans can sign the resolution online at peoplesresolution.org. And to give the document more weight, residents are asked to bump up their commitment by lobbying local officials or getting more signatures. And finally, folks in Idaho among those raising awareness about gun violence this weekend by painting their state orange. Eric Tegenhoff tells us today is National Gun Violence Awareness Day, and advocates are marking it with events across the nation and throughout the weekend.
At 8 p.m., a vigil for the victims of gun violence will be held at the Lennon Building in Boise in partnership with the Idaho Coalition Against Sexual and Domestic Violence. Both the Lennon Building and One Capitol Center will be lit in orange tonight. Amber LaBelle, Boise lead of Moms Demand Action for Gun Sense in America, says there is a lot of energy around ending gun violence this year.
It's a tragic thing that momentum is necessary, but it's also encouraging to see everyday Americans standing together with their neighbors, with their family members, with their coworkers, and saying, this is something that's important to us.
Orange was chosen because that's the color the Friends of Hadiya Pendleton, a 15-year-old who was shot and killed in Chicago in 2013, wore in her honor. LaBelle also notes it's the color hunters wear to be seen and is meant to reflect the value of life.
More than 400 events are planned around the country for Wear Orange Weekend. I'm Mike Clifford. Have a great weekend. You've been newsing and cruising with Public News Service. We're member and listener supported, and we are online at publicnewsservice.org.